This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The outstanding Jerry Dulac, my good friend, joins us. Jerry, welcome back. Great to talk some golf with you, but I do want to ask slip in a Steelers question, too.
Well, Steve, good afternoon, and as you know, of all the radio requests I get, the one I always make sure I do and adjust my schedule to attend is your show. So it's always good to be with you, my friend.
Thank you so much, and that means a tremendous amount to me. That's why he's just one of the best ever. Jerry, let's talk about Valhalla. Every course has its own personality. They haven't been here for the PGA, I think, 10 years? What is the personality of Valhalla?
Well, it is a big ballpark, Steve. And having been there when Tiger won and he beat Bob May in the playoff, which to this day still ranks as the best back nine duel I have ever witnessed in person. Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson in the British Open was tremendous as well. I wasn't at that one, but Bob May and Tiger Woods was as good as it gets. And then, of course, I was there in 14 when Rory McIlroy won. And while Bob May is not considered a big hitter, certainly Tiger and Rory McIlroy, and you look at it, now I know Mark Brooks won the 1 year, but, you know, Kenny Perry kind of did that to himself. Tom Watson won the other time. Those are all long ball hitters, and that's what's really going to be in play at Valhalla. It's 7,600 plus yards. The rough, the PGA doesn't have U.S. Open rough. They have penal but playable rough. And if they get any amount of rain, I think the score, certainly the course will play longer, but I think the scores will even be lower. But it's going to favor a long ball hitter, no question about it.
The Bob May one, was that the one where Tiger and 18 pointed to the ball as it was going in the
hole?
That's right.
And I will tell you that I was sitting greenside when that happened. But, yeah, that's one of the great highlights of Tiger's career, where he's walking after it, pointing at the hole as it goes into the cup. But, yes, that's the one.
Scottie Scheffler, tee to green. What kind of technician is he, tee to green?
Well, you know, he's so good in everything. He leads the tour in strokes gained off the tee. So if it's a driver's golf course, he fits that mold. If it's a mid-iron golf course, which, of course, because it's not a pitch-and-putt golf course, you're going to see a lot of, well, for them, 7 and 6 irons, which is, that's long for them. He's number one on the tour in mid-iron approaches. And as long as he is rolling the potato and putting, as he has been since he switched putters, I mean, he checks every box. And no matter what you're looking for, his short game, how many hole-outs does he have from inside 30 yards this year? I mean, it's incredible how many he has. He has every aspect of the game, and the only thing that's going to maybe beat him is a 3-tournament layoff, which he's not accustomed to. But it's just hard to bet against him. You've probably heard me say, Steve, before, it's like betting against Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl. It's just hard to do.
Yep.
But you know, he's you know, you can pick one of three guys as who should be the favorite in this event, and certainly he's at the top of the list.
And just so you know, if my opinion is, if Scottie Scheffler is having a mediocre tournament putting, he's still in the top 10. That's how good he is tee to green. I mean, that's how I look at it.
No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, because even what was holding him back when he wasn't putting well, I mean, you know, he was a top five guy. It's just what kept him from winning. And then once he straightened out that putting, and he's still not the, you know, the best on tour putting, but he's gotten significantly better because he's worked at it. Again, he changed his equipment, and that alone was enough. That's why he's won four of the last five. And the one he didn't win, he finished second. So, and that's why he's just, I mean, that's how much better he is, you know, statistically, but just, of course, in performance, but based on statistics, that's why he's so much better than everybody else right now.
Well, at Valhalla 10 years ago, Rory McIlroy outdueled, I believe it was Phil Mickelson, and was able to win. He's now coming off that team deal at Zurich, and of course, then winning last week at Quail Hollow. So where does we're talking about one of the great bombers out there as well, and hitting it straight. How can he handle this course and handle Scheffler at the same time?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question he could do both. To me, Steve, he is the greatest driver of the ball in history, and I also believe that when he is on his game, he is better than everybody else. It's just that he's been so inconsistent with his iron game. But when he has his A game, I really don't believe anybody can beat him. And so he's coming off back-to-back wins. I really think the Zurich Classic with Shane Lowry, wow, I'm not a fan of that event. I do think what he did by those two winning, they brought a lot of credit to the event, obviously a lot of attention. But, you know, he was so comfortable playing with his friend that I think it just allowed him to play a little bit more free. And we saw that at Quail Hollow. Steve, he shoots 65 and wins by five despite making double bogey at the final hole. And it wasn't a bad double bogey. He drove it in the rough and he hit a 9-iron from 179 yards. It was flagging the pin, and it just happened to run right through to the penalty area behind the green. You know, despite that, he still wins in dominating fashion when the rest, let's face it, there were only two guys who were, you know, under double digits, and the rest of them were 8-10 shots back. So, I mean, you know, he was playing a different golf course than the rest of the field. And, you know, back-to-back wins, that's what I say. There's three guys you have to consider as the favorites. He's the other, and Brooks Koepka, to me, you just can't discount what that guy has done. He's won three of the past six PGAs. He's coming off a win on the LIV Tour when he did that last year. He did that last year before the PGA. He's coming off a win and went to the PGA and won that. And he's also said he feels embarrassed by the way he played at Augusta. And I think the combination of that, I think Brooks Koepka, if he doesn't contend, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, let me ask you about the LIV part of it. There are certain ways that guys prepare for a major. Some people want to play the week before. Phil Mickelson's like that. Tiger Woods always wanted to play one, then have a week off, then play a major. How does LIV, especially with the 54-hole tournaments, what's your opinion about how it prepares somebody to play in something like this?
Well, you know, Steve, that's a good question, and you know, it's obviously those guys have played a ton of 72-hole events, but sure. I equate it to when you go out, and I see this even in myself, but if you go out and you play a lot of 9 holes, and then all of a sudden you go play 18, it's a little different ball game because, you know, it's easier to focus for 9 holes. You know, and not that 18 holes of golf is like playing, 3 hours of NFL football. But, you know, it's a different grind, both somewhat physically, but more mentally. And yeah. So when you are not accustomed to finishing off 72 holes, just much like playing 18 holes when you're only playing nine, yeah, I think it can have some amount of negative effect because you're just not comfortable. You're just not accustomed to going 4 days, 72 holes. So, yeah, I think it can make a difference. A major difference? I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't think there's any question it can make a difference.
You and I, of course, enjoy talking about Jordan Spieth, both as a person and as a player. There, everybody knows he's in a slump. Him resurrecting his game would be so big for the tour. When you've heard him talk about where he is with his game, what is derailing him right now?
Well, you know, a couple things. One, if he wins, you know, the historical significance of completing the Grand Slam would, you know, short of Scottie Scheffler winning again, would be the biggest storyline of the PGA because, one, it's Jordan Spieth, and because he'd be only the sixth guy to do it. And so him completing the Grand Slam at the PGA would just be tremendous, not only for him, but for golf. But, you know, I was listening to him yesterday, Steve, in his press conference, and he said he can't believe how good he is hitting the golf ball. But he pointed up several mistakes, big mistakes, that have come back to bite him in the rear and kind of derail his momentum, including one on Friday last week on the 18th hole that, you know, and then forced him to, okay, now Saturday I have to go do some stuff and play catch-up. And he says you can't play that way at Quail Hollow. Now you're on the offensive, and sometimes that can bite you. And so he loves where his game is, but to me it's the old Jordan Spieth where he makes the ill-timed bogey or worse, double bogey, and that's what gets him. That's what derails his chances. And, you know, he was doing that a couple years ago, doubles and triples, more so than any player on tour. And he started to eliminate that during his comeback and when he won last year. But you're starting to see that creep in, and not just somewhere in the middle of the round, at a key time in the round. You know, again, get on a little run on the back nine and then make a double at 18. You know, those are very deflating. That's what's hurting him, the bigger numbers, because he still makes a ton of birdies. That is never an issue with him. His scorecard is never a flat line, that is for sure. It's up and down. It's just a question of how many bogeys and, worse, how many doubles. And that's what does him in.
And what attracts fans to him is he's a great guy. But when he has the ability to get out of trouble, that swashbuckling attitude he has out there, fans love that part. But at the same time, does he need to be at times more patient with what's going on at the game?
Well, that's what he talked about yesterday, getting a little impatient. Like I said, when I referenced the mistake at 18 on Friday and then feeling he had to step on the gas a little and play a little bit more aggressive on Saturday. And he had even said he has to learn to be a little bit more patient. And, yes, I think that, of course, is the pressure of wanting to win again, you know, take the next step forward in his, quote, comeback, if you will, even though he did do that last year. But, yeah, and it's, you're right, it's his magnetism as a person, what he did as a youngster, you know, the levels he achieved, and his ability, his creativity. People love that ability to recover from the parking lot at the British Open and do the crazy stuff that he does. You know, that's Seve-like. And the crowd responds to that because, and it, you know, and the announcers and everybody, they shake their head. You know, it's just amazing. He puts himself in those positions, and then he has that ability to recover. And he's always been that way. He makes the dramatic shot. And that's what's so appealing about him, on top of the fact he's just a good guy, and every guy out there on that tour loves Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, they respect the heck out of him. I have to ask you about the Steelers-Chiefs Christmas Day game, which is now being leaked out, and it's going to be on Netflix. It's a Wednesday. It's not a Thursday. Just what's your thought on the combination of Steelers-Chiefs Christmas Wednesday and the fact that it's Netflix and people have to pay more to see it?
Yeah, well, from a personal standpoint, of course, I hate it. And the fact that Christmas got to midweek away from the weekends, which meant that I probably wouldn't have to travel or worry about the possibility of travel on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The fact that they got away from the weekend, I thought, good. And now here they're going to play a game on Christmas Day. I have not received confirmation of that. I am not disputing it, but I have not heard for sure that that is the case. The only good news, personally speaking, is that the game is in Pittsburgh. So if it's 4:25 or 8:30, okay, that's at least better than Christmas Eve on the road. That is for sure. But yes, the problem is now you're playing on Wednesday, Steve, and, you know, you're asking guys to play a game 3 days later, and it's just, and they're doing it for money and exposure, and Lord knows they don't need the money, and Lord knows they don't need the exposure. And just give it a break. Just give it a break. It's Christmas Day. Let the people enjoy it and not worry about those who have to go to work or feeling like, oh, people want to watch that. They're going to watch it because it's on, and if it wasn't on, they'd be perfectly fine, Steve, and then there'd be a game Thursday anyhow. So I think it's wrong, and it goes beyond just personal feelings. If I wasn't involved in it at all, I think it's wrong. And you know darn well the players' union and the players have to hate it, because yes, to ask them to play a game 3 days later, it's bad enough they do it on a Thursday. 4 days later, now it's just, it's really asking a lot for a league that talks about player safety.
So get in the research department to check. I thought Roger Goodell was the commissioner of the NFL. Did Gordon Gekko take over? I'm just asking.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It was like last year, you know, having the people pay for games. It's like, you know, when is enough enough? You know, you have this loyal fan base that spends money on merchandise, and of course, you know, you're in bed with the casinos and the websites, the gambling websites. You're getting a cut of that, and you know, and then you're going to tell the fan to pay some more money to see another one of your products. It, to me, it's just criminal, and I think the NFL should be ashamed. But then, you know, I guess that's all about big business. But it reaches a point, Steve. Is there going to be oversaturation? I don't think so, but there doesn't need to be because it's already saturated. And I don't think the fan is going to complain, hey, why no game on Christmas Day on a Wednesday? They know there's no NFL on a Wednesday. Just keep the status quo.
You are preaching loud and clear to the choir, and they've all perked up and said, thank you. Thank you for saying it. My friend, you're the best. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to spend some time with us. You are appreciated more than you know. Thank you.
Anytime, Steve, as you well know, and I will catch up with you soon, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you. The great, I mean great, Jerry Dulac, Steelers Network, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Phenomenal. Cannot say enough good things about Jerry. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.